The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Well, hello there. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974, and underwriting our podcast for over 10 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we're about to open the cover in a brand new issue of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. This one, of course, for April 2021. The theme this month is Art in the Great Wide Open. 8 towns to tour sculpture under the sky. Really pretty picture of a whirligig, very large whirligig that we'll read about. I believe they're called Wilson's Skyscrapers. And it's against a gorgeous Carolina blue sky in the background. So the color is just outstanding all over the cover, not just the whirligigs. We're going to start, as we usually do, with the From Elizabeth column in the front of the magazine on page 8. She titles this one, Art Springs Eternal. Finally, just when we thought we couldn't take winter much longer, spring sprung, making good on its promise once again. My grandmother traded the brocade drapes on her windows for airy shears and laid a cotton braided rug over the hallway furnace vent. I traded my indoor coloring books for a drugstore watercolor paint set, the kind with 2 rows of colors and a red plastic paintbrush that snapped into the center of the tin. While she went to the backyard to snip tulips, I found a spot in the sunshine on the front porch and carefully laid out my wares, my tin of paints, a stack of paper with a rock on top to guard against the wind, a jelly jar filled with water. I had no shortage of subjects for painting. Yellow warblers that came to feed at my grandmother's bird feeder. Tufts of green clover that sprouted all over the yard. Golden stalks of forsythia that grew along the edge of the porch. Daffodils that swayed in the flower beds. And the soft blue springtime sky hanging above it all. I was content to stay on that porch all day, dabbing my brush into the oval pools of color, quietly creating my own little landscapes. I didn't realize that I was carrying on an en plein air tradition, the activity of painting outside popularized in the early 1800s. I just knew that the breeze dried my paints on the paper quicker, the colors showed up more vividly in the sunshine, and that in the afternoon, my grandmother would join me to rock in her chair and smile as I showed her my work. This year, spring fulfills its promise again, always eternal. And although I no longer have that old drugstore pan of paints, I find a way to search for the art outside, to admire the masterpieces created by others. I'll find one of those masterpieces on the grounds of Davidson College in the Soaring Elm and Sweet Gum Stickwork sculpture created by Patrick Doherty, a stunning display of environmental art. I'll find inspiration in Brevard, in Kyle Lusk's towering steel banjo in front of the United Methodist Church, and in the unexpected portrait of a sunglasses-wearing Beethoven in the alley off of Main Street. I'll find beauty on familiar buildings, the ones with a story and a history in the artwork of Hickory native Hunter Spiegel, with his larger-than-life mural on the side of Lindy's furniture, telling the story of the miracle of Hickory, and in the work of Napoleon Hill, whose bold images on the side of the buildings in Warren, Halifax, and Northampton counties bring to light the history of agriculture and industry in eastern North Carolina. Amid the uniform landscape out of here, Hill's murals burst with color and light and energy, and isn't this what art is meant to do, to kindle a memory, to stir a heart, to persuade and provoke and surprise and mourn and delight, to pull light from the shadows, to inspire hope. All was it eternal, art fulfills its promise, ready and waiting for us to find our spot in the sunshine and enjoy the view. And now, as I also do in the first reading every month, I would like to interpret the pictorial in the center of our state magazine for you, for those of you who cannot see it or cannot see it well enough to fully enjoy it. This month it's entitled, appropriately enough, Easter in North Carolina. When the sun rises on Easter morning, its warming rays make their way across our landscape, from the sandy shores to the tallest peaks, flooding our home and hearts with hope and light. Written by Katie St. Singh, Zach Skillings, and Rebecca Woltz. On the left, the village chapel of Bald Head Island measures its milestones in Easter Sundays. The first worship service was held on Easter in 1984. Groundbreaking ceremonies followed the sunrise service in 1986, and the chapel was dedicated a year later. It is a brown tone building. This is about the color of coffee ice cream, I would say. There are classic church windows. I don't think they're stained glass, but they're that shape that come to a little pointed peak at the top of the curvature. And there are white shutters on either side, and there is some, at home, they call it GBG's grid between glass. I don't know whether these are between the glass or on the surface, but there's some sort of a molding there that is showing. And there's a big round stained glass window up just under the peak of the church with a small porch entranceway on the left. Not a very big church, but a very pretty one, and very nicely manicured lawn and foliage on either side of it. On the right-hand side, a real close-up of some pink petals with some yellow seeds in the center of them. Up with the sun. At the annual sunrise service on North Topsail Beach, the sermon is delivered alongside salt breezes and the sound of waves on the shore. The service is hosted by a group of Sneed's Ferry churches, and those in attendance are among the first in the state to witness the sunrise. We joke that we're on the edge of the world, says Pastor Bill Young of Sneed's Ferry Presbyterian Church. Farther west, the sunrise service at Chimney Rock has been known to draw folks out of bed in the middle of the night, giving them time to make the journey to the top of the iconic rock formation before the sun comes up. The inspirational notes of Amazing Grace, played on bagpipes, ring out through the panoramic pulpit, which offers breathtaking views of Hickory Nut Gorge and Lake Lure awash in the first day of light. Really pretty picture here on the left-hand side. It's this sunrise. It's shot, I think, with a little bit of time exposure. The rippling of the water that is in the lower part of the picture nearest us is a little bit out of focus and hazy. But the sun that is burning brightly a little bit above the horizon is reflected in this water in a zigzag of gold in the water's surface. Multiple lines. Every time there's a little wave, it catches the top of that and gives us this sort of a Christmas light effect, a blurry Christmas light effect coming toward us. And the waves are breaking offshore, and we see a couple of additional breaks as it comes in toward us. This cloudy sky gives way to a clear sky at the top, but the wispy clouds that are here are just like colored just like a sunset might be, with a purple tone and yellow and orange, and the sun burns brightly in the lower right. It's a ball of fire. It's bright. It's a whitish light almost, and yellow all around it, giving way to some pink and some orange tones. On the right-hand side of the page, Early risers gather at beloved locations across our state, including Chimney Rock and North Topsail Beach, just we talked about, to greet Easter morning in the beauty of nature. Lovely view of the top of Chimney Rock, shot either from a drone or from a higher location. We see a branch sticking out on the right-hand side. We see the stairway that comes up behind Chimney Rock. If you're not familiar with it, Chimney Rock is a towering structure in the middle of a forest. It goes way above the trees, a solid piece of rock at the bottom, and a big piece of rock at the top, and a cracked piece of rock holding them together in the middle from the weight of all those tourists, he joked. And also, interestingly, on the top is a tree. There are other flat rocks, boulders you'd actually have to call them, around there that I'm sure people sit on and climb on. And there is, fortunately, a metal fence going all the way around the edge so you don't tumble over, hopefully, and an American flag right at the top. But from our view, we see all beyond this. We see the top of all the trees leading up to a river, which is coming in from the right-hand side, and it gets narrower and narrower, and it just basically disappears. And I think what it's doing is it's turning into a roadway that leads up to the river, because that doesn't look like water down there. So there's a roadway, and it must end in a little beach or something at the end of this river. The river meanders on out and gets bigger and bigger, and then there's more mountain ranges in the distance. A light blue sky and some pretty blue clouds. The annual Easter sunrise service links generations of Moravians to a tradition that started in Germany in 1732. 40 years later, the ritual arrived in Winston-Salem. Every year since then, musicians, like this band in 1941, pictured on the left, have gathered to play in the wee hours before arriving at God's Acre, which is also shown at this page. You can certainly tell this is an old picture, not only because it's in black and white, and partly because all of the men, but not the three boys, are wearing hats, and everybody's wearing a suit or a sports coat, which is very unlikely today. They are mostly playing brass instruments, but two of them are playing clarinets. At the top, we see a gentleman with a trombone standing right beside the sunlight. That part of him is cut out because the sun is so bright the way the photograph was taken. And it doesn't really tell us much about that photo at the top. I'm assuming it's a real person and not a statue, because it looks like the person's dressed in a coat, a suit, and a white shirt, and holding this trombone while standing in the middle of this garden. The sunrise service about moves me to tears each year, says Jeff Witsit, one of the band's directors. It's breathtaking. And here they are in front of a building. The sky is kind of a dark blue because it's turning from night to dawn. And all of these men are here. And despite what I just said about all of the men on the left in suits, these men are in suit jackets also. And at least, well, they're not wearing hats of the old style it did back in the 1940s, but they're wearing caps. At least two of them are. And the conductor's standing up on a little portable podium here, and he's waving his arms vigorously to conduct the men. They do all seem to be men. Hymns through history in the early hours of Easter morning. The opening notes of Hail, All Hail, Victorious Lord and Savior float up from brass and woodwind instruments in neighborhoods across Winston-Salem. Moravian band members spread themselves throughout the city to awaken members of the church for the sunrise service, a celebration of the resurrection of Christ that has been held each year since 1772, and virtually during the pandemic. As the morning progresses, the smaller band groups converge in Old Salem, gradually joining together until four large groups can be heard playing antiphonally in front of the Home Moravian Church. We can all go look that word up, antiphonally. The service begins with the presiding minister proclaiming, "The Lord is risen. Later, the congregation processes quietly to God's Acre, the name given to all Moravian graveyards, where at last the full bands join together in triumphant glory as the sun rises. Full baskets and festive bonnets. Church bells ring, a buzzer sounds, and hundreds of impatient kids take off running. Once they let loose, there's no stopping the eager egg hunters, whose baskets swallow up to 1,000 eggs, scattered across 2 Southport locations in 20 minutes or less. When the frenzy is over, a handful of lucky children go home with a golden egg that could win them a prize. On the other side of the state, in the mountain town of Dillsboro, festive parade-goers don outlandish creations in the annual Easter Hat Parade. Judges select the best hats in categories such as poofiest and best smelling. And pets participate, too. There's even a celebrity appearance. The Easter Bunny comes along for the ride in an antique convertible car. And here's a picture of a little girl bending down in her Easter dress, picking up a blue egg, adding them to a red basket she's carrying. It wouldn't be Easter in North Carolina without a clutch of kids making a mad dash on a hunt for hidden eggs, or the quirky creations on display in Dillsboro's Easter Hat Parade is shown in the opposite page. And here is a lady who is smiling at us. She's wearing a gray T-shirt, which says something we can't read on it. I don't mean I'm not allowed to read it. I mean I can't see the words. And she's wearing a wide-brimmed purple bonnet and blue, purple and blue, and it has a blue ribbon that is coming down by her ears under her chin and is tied in a huge knot, and the rest of the ribbon drapes down over her chest. And there's a, on the top of it, there are some eggs with all sorts of fuzzy things on them, and an arrow with a sign that points to the Easter hunt. And then on top of that, there's a pink bow and a flower, and on top of that, there's some kind of stuffed animal, which itself has a large purple hat on its head. So it's quite a hat, as they say. Simple designs take Andrea Kulish an hour to complete, but more complex patterns can take days or even weeks of work. Kulish uses melted beeswax to form a wax-resistant surface on the eggs, which is removed at the end to reveal her design. So here she is. She's holding, this is a picture of her at the top. She is a little bit on the rotund side, big, smiling face, short blonde hair, small glasses, a necklace that almost looks like it's made out of some kind of teeth, but it's probably just wooden sticks hanging down, evenly spaced. And she has an egg in her hand, and she's working on it. But then there is a close-up of her working on an egg. She's holding it with her left hand. With her right, she has a little tube, which is sort of translucent. But at the end of the tube, it gets all dark, like it's been dipped in ink. And there's something that is stuck through the tube, and it ends in a point. And that point is touching the egg. Now, the egg has white lines that have been drawn all over it, and where the lines cross or meet, she's drawn a little petal pattern in gold. And I think what she's doing is using this device with black ink to put little dots in each one of the petals, as she has done on one that looks like it's already completed. The art of Easter, these eye-catching Easter eggs, hold a special place in Andrea Kulish's heart. They're called Pesenki eggs, a form of ancient Ukrainian folk art, and they provide a connection to Kulish's late mother, who taught her how to make them as part of a childhood tradition. Now Kulish shares her creations at Studio A, her shop in the River Arts District of Asheville. The vividly colored eggs display symbols of good health, prosperity, and fulfillment of wishes in the form of hand-designed depictions of nature. Kulish, who hosts workshops to teach others about her craft, finds joy in passing along a piece of her Ukrainian heritage. And these are enormously colorful and intricately designed eggs. I can't imagine how long it took to do these. Like, one of these has a violet color to it, but it has hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of circles of all sorts of different diameters all over it. Oh, the biggest circle is probably as big as the end of an eraser, and the smallest one is about the size of a point of a somewhat dull pencil. And they're all light pastel colors that show out beautifully against the violet background. And there are others that have vines on them, and then the leaves on the vines are colored. And here's one that sort of looks like a football, but isn't really. It has a number of triangular patterns. Some of them are filled with white lines, and some of them are filled with dots. And I could go on describing them for a long time, but they're quite beautiful. Mountain threads. When the Easter Bunny makes his rounds in North Carolina, he gets a little help from the artisans at Mountain Thread Company. In her modern quilt shop and studio tucked inside a big yellow house in a downtown Blowing Rock, Catherine Lyle coils lengths of cotton rope into baskets too sweet to put away after the egg hunt is over. As a fourth-generation quilter, Lyle opened the shop in 2015 to share her passion for her craft over the years. She stitched together a community of like-minded makers. These baskets are exquisite. They look like every stitch is just perfect on them. It's white stitching on white basket, a beautiful handle, and a big knob where the handle joins on the side. This one's filled with a chocolate bunny. Necco wafers. Oh, I love Necco wafers. Haven't seen them in a long time. Now I'm going to have to go out and look for them. A box of Good and Plenty and some little peeps, those marshmallow chicks. They're lined up in a row here. And there's two others, baskets. Both of them are different. They're filled with goodies also. The cotton rope that Catherine Lyle turns into baskets and coasters at Mountain Thread Company in Blowing Rock is custom braided by a North Carolina manufacturer. Then we have Henry the Bulldog. It ends in an I, so I said Henri. You may recognize this adorable wrinkled face from Henry's acting debut in the 2019 clucking bunny Cadbury cream egg commercial, a role that he won out of a pool of 4,000 animal contestants. Henry's performance in the commercial transformed the English bulldog into a local celebrity in his hometown of Wilmington. I knew from the moment he was born that he was going to be something special, says his owner, Kathy Santillo. When he's not posing for the camera, Henry enjoys chasing bubbles, cruising around in his remote-controlled Bentley, and chowing down on hand-fed meals of chicken, rice, and vegetables. Now, Henri, here, the English bulldog has a lot of extra folds of skin on him, starting right behind his nose, between his nose and his eyes, and then all these wrinkles above his face, above his eyes, going back toward his ears, and behind his ears, going right down his back all the way to his tail area, and then even down his legs, not so much on the thighs, but below the bend in his back leg, and all the way out to his paws up front. He has his pink and white Cadbury bunny ears on, a really cute expression, and of course his pink tongue is sticking out about an inch between his lips. 5 hours were allotted to film the Cadbury commercial, but Henry was such a great actor, they wrapped the set in an hour and a half. Now the Santillos say he's learning how to skateboard. Lots of YouTube videos of dogs skateboarding, so we'll see Henry there soon, I guess. Apple Annie's Hot Cross Buns, lightly spiced and sweetened with citron fruits and raisins, are part of a Lenten tradition that may date to the 12th century. Here are the hot cross buns, and they have those citrons in them and the raisins, and they have that glaze, you know, on the top of them. And somebody's coming along with a pastry, I'm sorry, I don't know the terminology, but that pastry cone that you squeeze and the icing comes out at the end, and they're putting the traditional line of white icing across the top of all of the hot cross buns. The scent of nutmeg and cinnamon marks the beginning of Lent at Apple Annie's Bake Shop in Wilmington. The spices are key ingredients in the bakery's recipe for hot cross buns, which Jimmy Giaferta, the shop's head baker, has been making the same way for 35 years. Many customers have standing weekly orders for the buns. In the 40 days leading up to Easter, the shop's team loves to be part of the holiday traditions. Creating these memories at home with your family is so important, says Chrissy Mingia, head of marketing. We feel honored that we're able to be part of these celebrations for so long, for so many people's whole lives. Now, here are some hot cross buns. I've never seen them done like this, but these have powdered sugar on top instead of that glaze that I mentioned, but they are crossed with the white icing, which also is covered with the powdered sugar. And here's Jimmy, smiling at us with his cap on and his gloved hand holding on to a rack of fresh rolls that have come out of the oven. The Bite of Spring, a 1963 issue of this magazine, then known as The State, presented a novel idea. Easter is a holiday. Why not throw a party? Easter brunch is a delightful way to entertain after church. On that most glorious of all Sundays, wrote columnist Carol Dare, the suggested menu, courtesy of Beth Tartan, longtime food editor for the Winston-Salem Journal, was very of the moment, featuring ham kebabs, fresh pineapple on the half shell, chicken livers supreme, scrambled eggs with avocado cubes and apple rolls. For many of us, especially this year, a simpler approach is in order. Our family gatherings might be small, but as we pass plates of ham and deviled eggs, potato salad, and pillowy biscuits, we remember what a blessing it is to be together. And on this page, we see somebody setting a very pretty Easter plate at the table. There are some tulips in a vase, or vase, however you wish, in front of that. There are some deviled eggs, but oh, there's no paprika sprinkled on top. In front of that, there's some homemade rolls, and close up to us, we see a plate of ham and sweet potato and green beans, and we all know it won't be long before we're enjoying this. As we move to the right-hand side of the table, we see that there is a bowl from which the potato salad is served, and lots of very pink ham with an outside that has clearly been treated with some glaze or something, because it's kind of a brownish color, and another vase of tulips, and another couple of beautiful place settings. We won't get time to describe the last page, but there are my eggs with the paprika on them. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us studios, 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.